Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey's the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and be sure to tell us where you're from and the things we talk about in this episode and links and photos and whatever else will be in the show notes. And you can access those by going to verypink.com and clicking the podcast tab at the top of the page, and we'll have it all in there. But it's also in the app, mm-hmm. in the whatever app, if you're using an app, like you use an Apple app and I use an Android app, but
yeah.
you could, if you open the show notes, everything that we so carefully link to is all on there too.
Yep.
Okay. Then we're in agreement. This is episode number 83. So if you want to find the things we talk about, just look for episode 83. And we are going to spend the next 20 minutes magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers, right?
That's right.
Okay. I
forgot why we're here.
That's because we've every time we record, this is how it goes. Because Casey and I are friends. And so every time we record, it's like, oh, yeah, I've got to tell you this. Oh, I got to show you this. Oh, I got to tell you this. And then an hour later, it's like,
we need to record
because Casey has kids to pick up from school and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And my kids, quote unquote, kids are all here today because the puppy couldn't go to daycare because he has an icky belly. Which is what?
Listening to you talk about it, it's just like listening to a friend whose little kid can't go to daycare.
Yeah.
Like, I need to get stuff done.
I need to get stuff done. I need him to get better. It's exactly it. I've come to rely on the days that he's gone to like easily vacuum, you know, and
yeah.
get things that I have to concentrate on really hard. I can get a whole bunch of stuff done at once, you know.
Leaving yarn out
and doors open, whatever else I'm doing. Yeah, it's all easier when he's not here. Plus, he comes home completely exhausted and filthy, and it's great because he sleeps the rest of the night. But he's got an icky belly. He's going to be fine, but he's here. And so I guess all that time that we were talking before we started recording today, we were just waiting for LB to settle down because he gets so excited to see you.
Yes.
Anyway, okay.
Okay.
We have a couple of follow-ups, I guess. People are doing a good job with sending in the follow-ups.
Yeah, I like that.
I do too.
I kind of feel like things just hang out there, so.
Yeah, sometimes they do if we don't have a good answer or someone has, anyway. Yes.
Yes.
You want to read?
Sure.
Okay.
So this is from Lily from Norway, who we hear from often. I'm catching up on your episode 80, and I have a recommendation for the woman who wanted to knit warm socks for her friend that was going to Antarctica.
Right.
Now, I have no way of coming in contact with her, and I don't want to send this as a regular question. However, I do want to say this. I live in the Arctic Norway above the polar circle, and I can wholeheartedly recommend wool yarn, no superwash. Superwash tends to warm less than actual wool yarn for socks because of the chemical process. This is a personal experience that I've confirmed by talking to fellow Arctic residents. Also, you can use 100% wool yarn if you don't find yarn that you like that has reinforcement in it. But by lightly felting the finished socks, you will have socks that will last longer. That's a good tip.
It is a great tip. And it's actually something that I've accidentally done in the past, but yeah, because I always machine wash my socks.
Yeah.
And even if they have like a little bit of synthetic in them, they can still felt a little bit, but I always flip them inside out to wash them.
Mm-hmm.
But that little bit of felting, you lose some stitch definition, but I think they're stronger.
Hmm.
This is really good advice. I had never really thought about doing it on purpose before.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyway.
And so she says, of course, you would make them slightly bigger before felting. And DK really makes for awesome socks in this colder part of the world. I don't know if this will ever reach the woman who initially had the question, but I just figured dropping a note wouldn't hurt. So
that's really nice.
Yeah.
And this is like really practical advice from someone who lives in... above the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Lily, very much. Thank you for getting back to us.
Okay, another follow-up. Thank you for your wonderful podcast. I was catching up on your shows and listening to one of your old podcasts where you were talking about Fair Isle knitting when my husband was in the room. I looked up and he looked absolutely stunned. I paused your podcast and he said, "Why would you make something that attacks?" I said, excuse me? And he said, "Why is that woman making a hat that attacks her or other people?" I almost fell out of my chair. He thought you were making feral hats.
F-E-R-E-L. Feral hats. Okay, keep going.
I laugh about this still and often. Sadly, when I explained about Fair Isle knitting, he lost interest. He wanted to hear about your crazy, uncontrollable, and untamed knitting. Anyway, thanks for your show.
So funny.
Beth from Bristol, Tennessee.
Beth, thank you for that. Feral Fair Isle.
Yeah, we need to, that would be like a really good username or something like that.
Feral Fair Isle. Knitting, you could have a yarn company called Feral Knitting.
Yeah.
And then feature Fair Isle projects. I don't know. That is funny, Beth. I'm sure your husband was being silly because he didn't really think that a hat was attacking.
Feral
but
hat.
It does sound like feral hat. That's great.
All right. Now ready for questions?
Sure.
Hi, ladies. I'm a crocheter, return knitter, and I've been knitting almost nonstop since I learned about a month ago. I may need Knitters Anonymous soon. My question is regarding making an infinity scarf for my mom. She picked out a medium weight yarn. I'm comfortable with knitting in the round, and I know I want what I want to do, but I do not have a I know what I want to do, but not having a pattern, it's making me anxious. I just want her to be able to wrap the scarf once around a figure eight, and I'm going to use seed stitch. I don't know what length circular needles I should use or how many stitches I should cast on. Can you give me some pointers on how to figure this out? Thanks for all your wonderful tips and tricks. Warmly, Ashley from Plattsburgh, New York, basically Canada.
Hi, Ashley. The first thing I want to say is if you go to Ravelry and you search for infinity scarf and you filter it by worsted, I think you're going to find a lot of options.
Yes.
Because anything beyond that is really pattern design. You're going to have to swatch using the needles that you want to use with that yarn to see how many inches you're getting, how many stitches per inch, and then make a decision on how long you want the scarf. You know, you can use another scarf to maybe help you decide how long you want it, and then cast on the number after you extrapolate from your swatch what it's going to be. And as far as the length of needles goes, I can answer that one because I find that 24-inch circulars hold almost everything. Don't you?
I had never thought about it.
Okay. You've never thought about it. So I'll just tell you. That's how it is.
Okay.
I was just knitting. I just designed a baby blanket for Zen Yarn Garden. And it's a baby blanket. And it's knit with bulky yarn. You know, it's like 40 inches across.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm going to need 32-inch circulars for this. Nope. Everything scrunches onto a 24-inch circular. No problem. And then, the only time I never used 32-inch circulars. I don't think I think I always scrunch. Anyway, my point for Ashley here is that you can scrunch a bazillion stitches on 24-inch circulars.
Yeah.
And you can always start out on 24-inch circulars. And if it seems too scrunched up for you, which I don't think it's ever too scrunched up for me.
I've had some things too scrunched up for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do you use 32-inch circulars?
I think so. I think I'm using them right now for a sweater.
Okay. I know I always use
whatever I'm using is really long.
The shortest needles that I possibly can for everything.
Hmm.
That's my thing.
You've never had it where it gets so crammed that like stitches are falling off kind of feeling?
No. For me, that's like less scooching, right? Less scooching the stitches
that's
around.
That's a technical term.
Less scooching around to get to the next. If they're almost falling off, then I just work them faster.
Hmm.
Grease lightning again. There we go. Anyway, Ashley, really, I'll go ahead and do the filtered search that I'm telling her about to search for infinity scarf and filter by worsted weight yarn. And she's bound to find something, maybe even a tried and true pattern that she won't have to design herself.
Mm-hmm.
I get questions like this a lot, and I think people think that designing something on the fly in your head is maybe a little bit easier than it really is because there are so many factors that go into designing. First and foremost, stitches per inch.
Yeah, or actually the scarf that I have today that I'm wearing, I'm not wearing, but wore.
Yeah,
is an affinity scarf that I kind of made up, and I knit, you know, a swatch and decided that my stitches per inch. Well, I'm using two different kinds of yarn and I didn't consider this because they were both bulky yarn, but they are different kinds of fabric, I guess, because one's a multicolored.
Different fiber types, you think?
I don't even remember. It's been a couple of years. But so I alternated it because it was purple and then
that was
that
a good
mixed,
idea.
Mixed. So I alternate. So now it has like a wave because when I washed it, one of them shrunk up a little bit. Not washed. I hand washed it and blocked it. So it actually looks cool. It's like a design feature. But, I mean, that's an example of, you can't just like knit a swatch and do the math necessarily.
No, you have to put needles to yarn.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a big part of designing is I can write out the whole pattern and swatch and write out the whole pattern. But until I put needles to yarn, there are going to be 15 things I didn't think of.
And,
yeah.
And so if you're mixing up yarns, that's one of the things you
know
need to think of.
You probably never would have had. You're going to reach it now.
I'm trying to get it without knocking everything over. But I think it's kind of cool.
No, it does look really cool. I didn't notice it when you're. Oh, gosh.
You can't tell when you're wearing it, but it's kind of scalloped.
Everywhere that you have the stripes, a stripe of the variegated yarn, it's wider and narrower at the solid yarn.
Yeah,
so it looks good. Yeah. And the sweater you're wearing is nice, too.
Oh, thanks.
We're wearing a lot of hand knits because we're actually having a winter here in Texas.
Yes, that's exciting.
I've got my Dirty Martini sweater on.
Yeah.
I actually finished it.
I love it.
It doesn't match what I'm wearing, but wearing it anyway.
I saw somebody who knits, and she was wearing like a hand knit sweater and a scarf or a cowl. It totally didn't matter. It didn't match. Another sweater on top of it.
Of course.
That's such a knitter thing to do, to just put everything on. It doesn't matter.
Well, it's Texas. We got to wear it all today.
Yes.
Okay, we can keep going.
Okay. Hi, Stacy and Casey. I picked up knitting again a couple years ago to help recover from major surgery. And it was then that I discovered the internet yarn world and Very Pink. It has been my favorite site since and I've subscribed, as well as regularly checking it. Through it, I've been able to accelerate the development of my knitting skills. Thank you for your generosity in sharing your expertise and clear explanations and great camera work. Recently, I decided to try something I thought I never would, a pair of socks, and have purchased in anticipation, among a couple of your others, your pattern for socks on 9-inch circulars. Before I dive in and cast on, would I be able to knit the heel as written straight after the foot section instead of marking the foot for an afterthought heel? I can't bear to think about coming back when I reach the cuff and cast off. Knitting a second sock, I think, will prove enough of a challenge. Thanks again for your contribution to so many knitters and your podcast. I look forward to it every week, especially to find out which interesting place Casey has been. Cheers, Judy from New South Wales, Australia.
Casey and your interesting places.
I know.
Judy, hi. Thank you for that. I'm looking over your question again to break it down. You have a few questions in here. And yes, my socks on 9-inch circulars pattern uses an afterthought heel because I'm always trying to change things up in my tutorials to teach something new. I really don't ever recommend altering a sock pattern unless you're a really experienced sock knitter. You can. The afterthought heel is one that you knit the whole sock, you reserve some stitches for the heel, and then when the sock is finished, you go back and you knit the heel, afterthought, right? Mm-hmm. And there are instructions in there for grafting the top of the heel to the rest of the sock. If you knit the heel with the sock as written, I'm sorry, I just said that incorrectly. If you knit the heel with the sock, by altering the pattern a little bit, I'm sorry, I need more coffee. While altering the pattern a little bit, like the Kitchener stitch part won't be necessary. So there are little things, the pattern will be a bit different. But I do have other patterns that mm-hmm. Don't use an afterthought heel, so that's always an option. But I think there's a bigger question here, and I'm wondering if sock knitting is for Judy. Because she's like,
she's worried about second sock syndrome.
But not even that. She says, I can't bear to think about coming back when I reach the cuff to knit the heel.
I know.
And I'm already worried about knitting a second sock. And so I don't. Judy, knitting needs to be fun. You need to be excited about what you're knitting. And if you're not, maybe. Is that a harsh thing to say, that maybe socks aren't for Judy?
No.
Okay, because I'm trying to be nice and I'm trying to be helpful here. But if like parts of the knitting of the sock are so dreadful to you.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't.
Maybe she should try the toe up German short row pattern and use the nice circular needles.
Just on that pattern.
That's what I do.
Yeah. That's what I do too. Well, yeah. I make all my sock patterns, but.
Or maybe she should try two at a time.
Yeah. And I have a new pattern for that coming out on Valentine's Day.
I'm going to try that.
With fingering weight yarn. So, oh gosh. I'm trying to be nice to Judy, but maybe, she needs to maybe knit two at a time, maybe not socks.
Yeah, or maybe just think of the heel, if you have to come back to the heel, that it's just like, one time I think you said part of the swatch is just part of the whole process.
It's knitting.
It's knitting, but it's also just part of the whole project.
Yeah. So Now I'm thinking about this, and I was thinking about this on the dog walk. There, is that funny?
It's funny to me. I don't know.
I was thinking about this on the dog walk. I like knitting, but like a few years ago, 2 years ago maybe, I was knitting a sweater, and once the whole cardigan was finished, you picked up around every edge, and you picked up stitches and did an I-cord bind off. So there's an I-cord edging around the neck, the front, the back, every edge of the sweater. It was the most dreadful knitting in the world.
That sounds dreadful.
Okay. And I really disliked it. And it ended up being like 16 feet of I-cord.
Oh, good Lord.
Picking up an I-cord bind off. And so, I mean, I understand what Judy is saying here, that there's part of this that she doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And this I-cord thing I really didn't like. The reason I didn't like it is because it's tedious. You have to have really good lighting to see, to pick up the stitches properly in the dark yarn. And with the I-cord bind off with the yarn I was using, it was really hard to get the tension just right so the I-cord was consistent. Mm-hmm. And I was ripping out, you know, one step forward, two steps back kind of a thing a mm-hmm. lot with a lot of it. So it took a lot of time. So I can see that some parts of knitting aren't the most fun. Mm-hmm. But socks, every sock has a heel. Every sock has a mate.
Yeah.
Okay, Judy, I wish you the best of luck. And I don't know. Get excited about the heel part.
Get excited about the heel.
I think heels are exciting. But we have an episode title now. Thank you, Judy.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. I have to echo everyone else by saying I love the podcast, and the Very Pink YouTube channel is always my go-to for a refresher on techniques and tricks. My question is kind of goofy, but I've Googled all around and I can't seem to find an answer. Do I have to use straight needles? I honestly can't stand them because I find them to be cumbersome. And they're always hitting me in the wrists and arms, even if I'm using shorter ones. Is there anything that must be knit on straight needles, or can I always use circulars to knit flat pieces? Thanks, Felicia from Colorado.
Felicia, I am right there with you, girl. Yeah. I don't ever use straight needles. You don't ever have to use straight needles. You know the only time I use straight needles? For photos. Because they look awesome in photos. Yeah. I'll be knitting things on circular needles or something flat on circular needles, and I'll transfer it to straight needles and then set it out and take a picture of it. And it always looks, because it's flat. You know, it looks good in the photo because it's flat.
And there's some really pretty straight needles that have gorgeous, my mother-in-law gave me some that were like handmade with this little jewel on the end of them. Oh. And they're gorgeous, and they broke.
Oh, what were they made out of?
They were made out of some kind of wood that they have in Maine.
Okay.
They have wood in
Maine. Special trees in Maine that make knitting needles that break.
It was just really soft, and I think somebody sat on my bag or whatever, which is sad, but they're so pretty.
Yeah, they look great. And I do have some Knitter's Pride 10-inch straight needles that if I have to use straight needles, the 10-inch ones are probably the best to use because they are so short. But you see, if you look up there to the vase up there, my vintage needles, some of them are as long as my arm.
Yeah.
Who was enjoying knitting with those? And like, how did you knock out everybody on both sides of you every time?
To me, my shoulders get so tense if I'm like holding up, because it makes you hold up your elbows almost.
Because you can't have, if the needle ends are like hitting the chair next to you, mm-hmm. that's going to mess up your tension, and it's just going to make drag and pull.
Yeah.
I don't know. Felicia, you don't ever have to use straight needles.
You can do whatever. There are times when you have to use like DPNs, maybe.
Yeah, double pointed needles. I think she's talking about
straight.
Straight.
Long straight.
Long straight with stoppers on the ends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. I love listening to your podcast every week. I listen to it while riding the bus to work, earbuds in place, and knitting away, and it just makes a traffic-filled ride go so quickly. I'm so jealous. I wish I could do that.
You wish you could. You
not
could
drive.
Not drive. You know, I've never lived in a city with great public transport.
I think I would like that.
I think I would like. Well, and what knitter wouldn't? It's like mm-hmm. I've got a half hour now.
Yeah.
To listen to my audiobook, listen to my podcast, do some knitting.
That'd be awesome.
Get weird looks on the train.
I want to knit a half pie shawl using a few lace patterns from my Stitch Dictionary. My problem is that I will be knitting the shawl top down, but the lace patterns are knit bottom up. The lace patterns themselves are a bit intricate, wheat sheaves and leafy designs, and I would like them to face the right way up in the shawl. Is it possible to knit the lace upside down, that is starting from, let's say, row 16 and knitting up to row 1? Will this mess up the pattern? Should I just resign myself to downward facing leaves? Miriam from Israel. I'm not going to destroy the name of your city, Miriam.
That's hard to pronounce, yeah.
I'm originally from New York, but I've been living in Israel for the past 34 years. I've never had a breakfast burrito, but you make them sound delicious.
I don't think I've ever had a breakfast burrito either.
A burrito, we eat breakfast tacos, and there is.
What is it? I don't even know what a breakfast burrito is.
Burrito's bigger, and like California has more burritos than tacos.
Texas has tacos.
Tacos are smaller, and burritos usually have like more stuff like rice. Oh, no. They're like bigger, you know, like Chipotle, giant burritos.
Oh, right, right. Chipotle. That's all you had to do is say Chipotle. Now I know what you're talking about. Okay, okay. We answered a question. Thank you, Miriam, for writing us. And we had a question similar to this, but the other person was asking, and their question was a little bit different. Miriam wants to know if she can just work a pattern backwards and have a lace pattern backwards and have it work. And the answer is no. If you think through that, if you think like, let's say on row one, you have a bunch of knit two togethers and yarn overs, you're working from decreases and increases on the next row. Mm-hmm. And if you're working the other direction, you're working row two, let's say. No, I'm not explaining this well. Let's say I have to give the row numbers. Row one has yarn overs and knit two togethers. Row two works from those yarn overs and knit two togethers, right? So, but if you're working, so that's working row one, working row two. If you're going the other direction and working row two, working row two is a reaction to row one. And it can't be if you're working it before row one. Right. You're just saying, right, and not really listening?
No, it's like I'm a visual person.
Yes, no, I could totally see that. I could totally see that the gears were turning. That the best way I can put it is row two is a reaction to row one. And if you're working it before row one, it can't be a reaction. So as she says here, should I just resign myself to working downward facing leaves? And I say yes. And that was the question that we answered last time.
Yeah.
And I just said, yeah, I think the leaves are going to be pretty this way or this way.
Yeah, and if you're wearing, it's a shawl, right? That's what we're talking about. So it doesn't matter which way your leaves are.
I don't think so.
It doesn't matter which way your leaves are growing.
Gosh, we have two good titles for this episode. I think we're out of time. Yes. Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, the letter K and the letter C.
And all of your social media buttons are there, mm-hmm. including Instagram, and you have a new kitty. So people are definitely going to want to check out
my little spunky kitten.
Yes, you have a kitten. And you can, of course, find me at the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or at verypink.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom, all of my social media buttons are there. But that is all we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.